the kitchen. Something's brewing in the air. Something's burning in your microwave and freezing in your frigid air.
Do you consider cooking fun and rewarding or kind of a drag? Do you avoid cooking as much as possible? Or do you consider yourself a pretty good cook and look forward to it? This hour, we will talk with a guest who says, cooking isn't fun, but we should do it anyway. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, August 30th. Our guest is the author of the book, The American Way of Eating, Undercover at Walmart, Applebee's, Farm Fields, and the Dinner Table. We talked with her previously about her undercover work for the book, and today we will talk with her about a recent piece that she wrote that we found on Slate.com. Cooking isn't fun, but you should do it anyway. And we'll wonder if you agree with her or not, or maybe you found a way to making cooking less of a chore. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Tracy McMillan is author of The American Way of Eating. She's also a senior fellow at the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism and a Knight Wallace Fellow at the University of Michigan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you know, I have to agree with you. I don't really enjoy cooking. Cooking is not my favorite thing to do. I did try last year as a part of a New Year's resolution to cook a new recipe every week, but I gave up. I tried, and I do more cooking from scratch than I ever did before, but it was time consuming. I botched recipes. I don't have a well-stocked pantry, so I didn't always have the stuff that I needed. It just was way easier to toss a veggie burger into the microwave. Is that how it is for you?
Sometimes, you know, I think that for me, you know, I've actually been cooking since I was probably 7 or so, and cooking's very easy for me, and I there are times when I really enjoy it, but, you know, as I write about in the piece for Slate, you know, when I spent all this time working undercover and on minimum wage, you know, you lose a lot of freedom with your time when you're working at places like Walmart, and I just found, you know, I got myself to a point where I pretty much was down to a few raw ingredients, and I was either going to eat, you know, uncooked flour, or I was going to cook, and I really didn't like it, and I felt really resentful of the fact that I had to cook, and this little light bulb went off where I was like, oh, that's probably what it's like for most people.
Yeah, and you didn't have the option working at Walmart to just cruise over to the grocery store and pick up a gourmet salad.
Yeah, I think for me at least, it was sort of the absence of that choice, because I think for most of my life, you know, I'm a single person. I don't make a whole lot of money, but I have a lot of freedom with my time. I know how to cook well. And there was always this escape hatch. You know, if I didn't feel like cooking, I could just take something out of the freezer. I could run out to a, you know, takeout place. I could do that because monetarily it wasn't going to ruin me. But when I was, you know, living on $8 an hour, every penny counted. And there really, you know, I could not afford to get, you know, a Coke out of the vending machine. And, you know, when you sort of have no choice but to cook, and it's absolutely not a choice for you, it really loses a lot of the fun.
Yeah. Why do you say that advocates of home cooking or cooking from scratch need to acknowledge that it's not fun?
Well, I think, you know, we're seeing a real resurgence in interest in home cooking from a whole spectrum of folks. You know, so I think Alice Waters does a beautiful job talking about how it can tie you to the local environment, and Michael Pollan and Mark Bittman and these writers, you know, do a beautiful job of talking about how rewarding cooking can be and how much, you know, you can sort of get out of it. And I think that when you only romanticize it and you don't acknowledge that when you're doing it every day, it's not that much fun, it sort of separates, you know, the world into people who like cooking and then everybody else who actually doesn't care. And I think it's much more complicated than that, you know. Like, I think that, you know, a lot of people enjoy cooking a little bit, but, you know, when you're feeding kids and you economically, you know, have to cook every night, it's not fun and rewarding. And if you make it seem like there's something wrong with people who don't find it fun and rewarding, you're sort of shutting off this whole discussion to those folks.
Yeah, so I wanted to have you talk a little bit more about it. Why is it important that we acknowledge that cooking is a chore, but we need to do it anyway?
Well, I think it's important because otherwise people really, you know, sort of think, oh, well, I'm not somebody who cooks, and so I will go and get this and this. Because someone who cooks, is someone who enjoys this or knows a lot about it or has lots of fancy ingredients. And, you know, it's healthier and cheaper to cook from scratch. It's a really important part of self-sufficiency. You know, the more that I've sort of talked to folks around the work I did in the book, I've really come to feel like, you know, being able to choose what you're eating, and that includes, like, being able to cook it, is a huge part of sort of being self-sufficient and not having a corporate nanny state, right, feeding you whatever it feels like. And I felt like, you know, cooking is really important. I do think more people should do that because it's an important skill for everyone. But if we only act like it's this, you know, beautiful, idyllic thing, you know, most people aren't going to do it.
Yeah, if cooking from scratch is cheaper and better for our health, why is it, do you think, more people don't do it more often?
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, it is a hassle. It does take sometimes a little more time. You know, I did this sort of back-of-the-envelope experiment when I was working on my book, where I tried to prepare a box of Hamburger Helper from scratch, you know, sort of, I tried to make something similar to a box of Hamburger Helper from scratch, and then I made the actual box. And it's something like, I think, 42% cheaper to make it from scratch, and it took 1 minute more. So we're looking at a difference of 22 versus 23 minutes. So, you know, once I did that calculation, I said, oh, well, cooking's not actually that much more of a hassle. It's just that in my head it feels like it, and so I just need to buck up. And, you know, cook stuff from scratch because it's much healthier. There's a lot less sodium. You know, anything that's coming to you in a box usually is going to have a lot more salt, often a lot more fat or sugar than something you make at home. Something like 75% of our salt intake comes from processed food right now. And so, you know, you can use sort of as plenty of salt at home if you're cooking. It's just that, you know, you want to sort of avoid highly processed foods. And so I really felt like that was an important part to bring out.
Well, I guess I don't doubt your experiment, but I can't imagine that I would be able to make the box of Hamburger Helper in just about the same amount of time. Because I also might not make it taste as good because I would put the wrong spices in, or I would ruin it somehow. And that's a part of the chore. I have to teach myself how to do this.
Right. Well, you know, and I talk about this in my book a little bit. You know, I really do feel like, you know, it would be really great if we could have sort of a general skill the way we have health classes and, you know, different kinds of skills classes as part of our secondary education. You know, I think cooking is a really important skill that everyone should learn, and not in this sort of like basic home ec way that was about, like, oh, you're going to be a mom and you're going to raise kids, but just sort of men and women both need to know how to cook really, like, well and basically from scratch. I mean, making a box of Hamburger Helper or a version of Hamburger Helper from scratch, it's really easy. It's a few spices, very basic stuff. You're browning meat, you're throwing in, you know, some noodles and a little bit of water or broth and some milk. You know, I was sort of surprised. It's like, oh, this is actually really simple cooking. But I feel like most Americans haven't been able to learn to cook that quickly because, you know, as women went into the workforce, it wasn't just that they had less time to cook at home themselves. They didn't have sort of time in their day to all be teaching it to kids, right? Like, that's a lot of work. And it's something that, you know, I think everyone should be learning.
Yeah.
And interestingly, men cook a lot less than women. I mean, it's something like, I think married women spend 50 minutes a day on food preparation, and married men spend something like, I don't know, it was like 15 minutes, something like that. So, you know, when I saw those statistics, I said, you know, I think maybe we could even stop saying people need to cook more in general and just say, like, men should be cooking more, and that might sort of get us further along.
Yeah. You know, I don't have the lack of education as an excuse, though. I did take home ec. I took cooking classes as an adult. I really tried to study up on this. I bought all sorts of cooking books. But, you know what, part of it is it's time. Is there something I'm missing here? It's the time to put it all together.
I mean, I think time can be an issue, but when I did that Hamburger Helper thing, I really felt like, oh, a lot of it's not just the actual sort of physical time on the clock. It's the headspace, right? It's sort of not having to think about it, and that's really what the appeal of something like Hamburger Helper is. It's not so much that it's too hard to put together yourself. It's that you're like, I don't know what to make. Here's a box. I have some beef. I'm done. And interestingly, I found this wonderful blog. I have it linked somewhere on my own site, of this woman who sort of sat down and she figured out how to make sort of her version of spice mixes for all these different Hamburger Helpers, because she said, you know, I think this is really important, but you don't want to have to eat all this processed food. And so, she said, you know, it's really just different spice packets and a little bit of cornstarch to thicken stuff up. And so I really enjoyed sort of those kinds of ideas. And then I think for everyone, right, it doesn't have to be Hamburger Helper. It's just, you know, what are a few dishes that you like to eat that aren't that hard to make, and you can just have them on hand and know how to make them without thinking? Because, you know, I've sort of had to do that in my life where I say, okay, I'm going to make sure I always have tuna and noodles and some lemon in the house because I really like, you know, sort of tuna, noodles, lemon, you know, some garlic and sort of pickled onions or something like that if I have it in the house, and just have that so that when I get to a point where my fridge is low, you know, I have those ingredients. I can just make it and not have to worry about it.
We are talking with Tracy McMillan, who says cooking can be annoying, time-consuming, and risky, but we should do it anyway. And we welcome your reaction to this, your questions for her. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you consider cooking a chore? Or do you find it fun and rewarding? What's your secret? It's going to be mostly sunny and hot today. High temperatures mainly in the low to mid-90s. Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the 60s. Sunny and warm tomorrow. Highs will be in the mid to upper 80s. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, August 30th. Coming up tonight at 6, it's the final day of the special live call-in covering the Republican National Convention in Tampa. WNYC host Brian Lehrer will give you updates and perspectives on the GOP convention. That's tonight at 6, and then special coverage of the convention from NPR starting at 7. We will take a look back at Congressman Paul Ryan's speech last night before the GOP convention. We'll have a guest analyzing what he had to say and what he didn't say last night in his acceptance speech for the vice presidential nomination. That's coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. Right now we're talking about cooking with a guest who wrote a piece that appeared recently on Slate.com. Cooking isn't fun, but you should do it anyway. And we wonder if you think the same thing. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Steve in Dodgeville is our first caller. Hello, Steve.
Oh, yes, good morning. Actually, it's Dodge, Wisconsin, up along the Trempealeau River, above across Wisconsin.
Sorry about that. I just misread.
That's all right. No, when I heard the program starting, I was just kind of taken by shock. I'm like, no way. Anyway, no, I enjoy cooking. I mean, I'm an over-the-road truck driver right now, but, you know, when I get home, especially with all the vegetables that come out of the garden nowadays and, you know, from the little markets in the towns that you drive by, it's excellent to be able to have fresh vegetables. Just slice them up and saute them in a pan or, you know, red potatoes, you know, if you don't have time to cook them, you know, throw them in the microwave for like 4 minutes or something like that and then slice them up. Be careful because they're hot, but otherwise slice them up and then they cook a lot faster that way. But no, I love the fresh vegetables this time of year and little meat, you know, throwing a pan at, you know, along the way. Or when I used to teach high school math for 7 years, and while I was doing that, I'd oftentimes go home and just buy, like, you know, stop at the store, buy a chicken and buy a bunch of miscellaneous vegetables, get the chicken boiling in the stovetop and, you know, kettle of water, and while it's boiling, just start cutting potatoes and other miscellaneous vegetables and the hardest ones throw in first. And, you know, some kind of all season all salt type thing. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, you know, when I had time, of course, but yeah. Like so right now I don't have much time, but, like I said, I'm looking forward to this weekend, you know, more if my mom's got a big garden. I look forward to, you know, she always gives us some extra things out of the garden and, you know, like zucchini, even, you know, slice it up in thin slices and a little butter in the pan and some salt and it'll go along with anything else that the wife's got ready. So.
Sounds wonderful, Steve. How did you develop a love of cooking?
Yes, I really don't know for certain. I've got 8 brothers, and it might have something to do with it. My grandma always cooked. Every time we went to my grandma's house, she always had all kinds of different leftovers out of the refrigerator. She'd pull out, and then she'd be making other fresh stuff on top of the stove. So there was always food at grandma's house, but then also my mom, you know, having 8 brothers, she was usually cooking or preparing something for the next meal all the time, so I just being around that, I guess.
Do your brothers also cook?
Yeah, I think I think most of them do, yeah. I mean, yeah, most of them do, yeah. Really? Especially, I got a lot of brothers that are, like, bear hunters and a lot of venison hunting, you know, deer, you know. So a lot of the women tend not to, for some reason, know how what to do with it or don't like the idea of it for some reason. And so I got several brothers that cook the meat up and usually using crock pots. So with crock pots, shove a chunk of meat in and season all salt and a bunch of vegetables around it.
Well, if Steve, the truck driver, can cook and loves to cook, Tracy, I guess I should too.
Well, I think there's also sort of a truth to, you know, some people just are the sort of folks that enjoy cooking naturally, and some people, like, for them, it's a bit of a chore. And I with this piece, I just wanted to have sort of a realistic conversation. And, I mean, something that really occurred to me with what Steve was talking about is, you know, this idea that cooking is this big, huge project when it can just be like, I get home, I put some water on the stove, I put something in it, I start adding more to it. There's a beautiful book written by a woman named Tamara Adler called The Everlasting Meal that sort of talks about this, right? That's really shifted the way I think about cooking, where it's sort of like, okay, if I'm not sure what to make, I just need to put some water on the stove and start putting stuff in it, and within an hour, I'll have some food.
Yeah, but you also do write, here's my proposition for foodies and everyone else. Continue to champion the cause of cooking, which you're doing, but admit that cooking every day can be a drag. Just because it's a drag doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. We do things every day that are a drag. We take out the trash. We make our beds. We run the vacuum. We pay the bills. These are not lofty cultural explorations, but they are necessary, so we do them anyway.
Yeah, I mean, that's really come to be the way I think about cooking. You know, every once in a while I say, oh, I'm really going to explore this recipe and get some weird ingredients and this will be fun. But, you know, I used to spend, you know, whole afternoons cooking with my sister, and we thought it was so much fun. And, you know, after working on that book project, you know, she'll say, oh, what are we going to cook when you come over? And I say, well, whatever you feel like making while I, you know, catch up on some reading.
Yeah. Steve, thank you so much for calling, and I hope you enjoy cooking this weekend. You gave me an idea of what to do with that baseball bat zucchini that somebody brought into work, too. Cindy in Burlington is with us. Hello, Cindy.
Hello. Oh, I started cooking a few years ago because, you know, the gas price is going up, so I really couldn't afford to go out anymore, so I started cooking at home. And I was actually saving money, and I lost weight. I lost a whole lot, but it was like a steady decline of weight. And then from all the cooking, and then I started baking, I made my own breads because I was experimenting. And from doing all that, I actually just won 2 fourth place and a 3rd place at Walworth County Fair for my baking.
Way to go. So, congratulations.
Yeah, so it's just like, I took the joy of it. Yeah, it was a drag at first, but then, you know, if you really open your mind and just start being creative, you know, and then it's really good food if you do it right, you know. And then this lady that was judging, she's saying that cooking and baking is like an art form, and that's how I take it too. So I really enjoy doing it. I do save money. My weight stays really at a steady, you know.
Yeah. Why do you suppose, Cindy, cooking your own food from scratch, helped you lose weight?
Oh, because there's no preservatives in it. And then I can choose what I want to do, if I, you know, when it comes to the vegetables and stuff. You know, I'll get fresh vegetables if they're in season. I'll use what that is. I made a lot of soups, and then I would freeze them. And then and when I froze them in, like, little plastic sandwich baggies and stuff. And I put them in my lunch, and then all that nutrition. You know, it was just like I'm way healthier. You know, and then going out to eat even once a week, it's like I couldn't even afford that. So I would invite people over the house. You know, it was just, I like cooking a lot.
Wonderful. Well, it's contagious, too. I'm now getting excited about doing something with that zucchini. Maybe some zucchini bread or zucchini chocolate muffins I saw a recipe for. But, Tracy, what about, here Cindy is saying that she, because of finances, decided she needed to cook more at home, and she lost weight and wins awards.
Yeah, I mean, there's actually some really good research showing that cooking at home, you know, is much more affordable than eating out, even something like fast food, you know, because fast food is really cheap for eating out. It still cannot beat the sort of per-person cost for eating at home. So I know Mark Bittman has done some work on this in the New York Times. But, you know, if you think about it, you know, a value meal is $5, $6 usually, and you can feed a family of four on, you know, $10 or less to eat a really good meal usually at home. We're not talking high level gourmand stuff, and you're not going to have, you know, beautiful butters and creams and fancy spices, but you can eat a good basic meal at home.
You know, one of my problems is that I'll buy lettuce and veggies and a lot of fresh produce, and then I'll make a salad, but then I don't use it, and then it goes bad in my refrigerator. So I'm wasting a lot of food.
Right. So, I mean, right now, actually, something like 40% of the food that Americans buy and take home ends up in the trash. We waste a lot of food. So I think that's a really common problem. And a lot of it really just becomes, you know, sort of developing a discipline with your refrigerator and not just sort of throwing out stuff when it gets bad, but sort of keeping an eye on what's in there and having a sense of what you can do with stuff before it goes bad.
I have a plan. That's what I think I need, is I just need that plan that I'm going to use that whatever, you know, in the meal tomorrow.
I mean, Cindy probably could tell us better than I can, but like soup, I find, tends to be a really good one-stop shop for getting rid of everything.
Good idea. Well, we are going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue taking your calls and comments on cooking. Do you find it fun, or do you find it to be a drag? Well, our guest says cooking can be a drag, but we really need to do it anyway. Talking about the benefits of cooking from scratch, but acknowledging that it can be a hassle. How do you make it less of a hassle? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Tracy McMillan, author of The American Way of Eating, undercover at Walmart, Applebee's, Farmfields, and The Dinner Table. She's also a senior fellow at the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism and a Knight Wallace Fellow at the University of Michigan. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest this hour says cooking isn't fun, but you should do it anyway. And she says the advocates of cooking from scratch should acknowledge that it is annoying, time-consuming, and risky, and not some sort of specialty hobby. Here's a clip from the movie Julie and Julia, where the main character is trying to recreate all of the best dishes by Chef Julia Child.
I'm sure you all remember, because it was only a few days ago, that I had a meltdown over my aspic and vowed to transform myself into a better human being. And then I was trussing the poulet rôti à la Normande, which is roast chicken stuffed with chicken livers and cream cheese, and it fell on the floor and the stuffing fell out into a big, gooey mess.
What am I doing?
So, long story short, another meltdown.
Crazy!
Worse than the last.
So do you ever have a meltdown when you're cooking? Do you consider cooking a chore? Well, our guest says that that's what it is. Just like taking out the trash or paying the bills, it can be a drag, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:37 on this Thursday, August 30th. We are talking with Tracy McMillan. She is the author of the book, The American Way of Eating, and she also wrote a piece that appeared recently on Slate.com, Cooking Isn't Fun, But You Should Do It Anyway. And Tracy, I don't even know what aspic is. Is that the making it look like it's a specialty hobby, some sort of highfalutin thing?
Yeah, I think when you're talking about sort of relatively obscure French cooking practices, you know, an aspic is sort of like, it's basically a meat jello, right? So you're actually using the collagen in the bones. And, you know, I've never had it. I don't really have the stomach for stuff like that. But, you know, when you're talking about, like, oh, you have to cook like Julia Child and stuff, you know, and, you know, a breast with, like, what was it, chicken livers and cream cheese or this aspic, you know, that's a lot more work than most people are going to do on a day-to-day basis. And talking, when you sort of, I feel like a lot of the discussion around food is mostly as if all cooking was like that.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, for me, I'm like, oh, I do a lot of, I have some leftover rice in the fridge, and so I saute some vegetables, and I throw in some rice and some seasoning, and then I sit down with a bowl.
Yeah, we need to make cooking more accessible, easier.
Yeah, I think that having more of a discussion about sort of cooking is just something everybody should do and can do. You know, that's, and acknowledging that, you know, it's not always fun, But for me, you know, coming to appreciate, you know, it will take me 20 minutes to make myself something from scratch. That means that I have control over the ingredients that are going into it. I have control over the quality. You know, so when you're buying processed food, you have no control over the quality of the ingredients, but I can decide, like, oh, I'm going to have, you know, sort of like mid-grade beef, but like a really nice spice or something like that. Like, I can control all of that. I control the timing and all of that. You know, like, for me, that's fine. And particularly when, you know, I do the math and I say, well, it's 20 minutes either way. It will take me 20 minutes, you know, to walk to, you know, I live in New York, so to walk to a restaurant and get, you know, even something right off the counter. So why not just do it at home?
On Facebook, Gina says, I enjoy cooking, but it's the prep work like dicing and the cleanup that gets me down. I know it's important and I try to do it as often as possible, but it's such a relief that we are saying this out loud. That's part of your point, isn't it?
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of be able to give voice to that, because I felt like I would end up in these conversations with people, you know, who work in the food world, you know, or write about food a lot, and, you know, they're very articulate and eloquent about sort of the joys of cooking, and they tend to skim over the fact that it can just be a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Gina goes on to say, there are more choices than Alice Waters versus Hamburger Helper, and just because you're not Alice Waters doesn't make you a bad person. So just what we were talking about.
Yeah, I like to think so.
Yeah. Well, what do you think? Is cooking something that you enjoy? Do you find it a relief that we are talking with a guest who says, you know, sometimes cooking is a drag? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And our next caller is Trevor in Viroqua. Hello, Trevor.
Good morning. Yeah, I've been cooking for many years now, and grilling especially, and I think it can be very fun when cooking with your friends, and romantic when you're cooking with your girlfriend, and very rewarding to cook for your family when they think it tastes amazing. But like you said, it can also be quite the chore, especially with the time it takes to buy the supplies and cleaning up the dishes afterwards. And it can be risky, too, like you've said. I've shinned my hand hairs off when I could not get the gas grill to start right away, and so all this gas is just flowing out, and I started and just whoosh, this huge flame, and it's like, whoa. But, yeah, also I've been at college where people have left the ovens on or pots boiling till there was no water left. So
I've never done that.
But, yeah, it can be a lot of fun, and I actually bake Christmas cookies for my friends when Christmas comes around, and I send them off in the mail, and they just all love them. It's a special Christmas cookie that my mom actually taught me to bake. So,
oh, wow, Trevor, this is great. So that's your mom taught you how to cook?
Yep, and my dad taught me how to grill. So.
And sounds like you do it a lot.
Yeah, quite often. Normally at least once a week I'll cook for my family, and more often I'll cook for my younger sister when my parents are away working. So.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for talking about how it can be risky, too. But here, you know what I got from that call, Tracy, is that Trevor likes to cook or grill for other people.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something very rewarding mm-hmm. about being able to feed other people well, you know, and this is something that I think we have a really strong sort of cultural narrative around for women, but I think it's certainly true for men too, right? It's something that you're doing that's practical and helpful and yet can be really rewarding because you're helping other people and sharing with them and doing that. And so, you know, I certainly, you know, I'm the oldest of three girls, and our mom was sick when I was a kid. So for me, a lot of how I sort of help my friends and my family is, you know, I've been cooking for them, right? And so, you know, my grandma and I make Christmas cookies every year, so I really identify with Trevor's story about sending those off. We do that, too.
That does sound nice. Trevor, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here. I got one more point. The cooking experience I've had has given me a greater appreciation for my family members that cook, especially during big get-togethers, thanks to Thanksgiving and Christmas. And even for my birthday, like my mom and my Aunt Susie got everything ready, all the food. We had a big fondue with just different kinds of meat and cheese curds and everything. So it really helps give me a bigger appreciation for my family members when they cook.
Wonderful. And it sounds like you make it, sometimes it's a group effort.
Yeah, when we have big family get-togethers, like some people will bring this, some people will cook that, so,
yeah.
Yep.
I wanted to know what kind of Christmas cookie.
Oh, it's, I don't know what they're called exactly. It's almond, like, butter flour cookie with white powdered sugar on it, and they're about the size of a quarter and about the thickness of about a quarter inch, and they're just delicious. Like, my friends just inhale them.
And they melt in your mouth, I bet.
They're actually really crunchy, so
oh.
But they kind of melt, but, yeah, they have a nice, like, crisp crunch to them, and... I mean, I made my friend a quart bag of cookies, like just filled it to the brim, and he ate them all in one day, and I was like, oh, man.
Well, we're going to get a bunch of people wanting the recipe, but I'm afraid we don't have time to go over. Trevor, if you ever feel like you want to share that recipe, send it to us via email or post it on Facebook or something, because it sounds delicious. Thank you so much for sharing. It sounds like cooking was a big deal in his household, though, too, where, you know, big family get-togethers and everybody pitching in, Tracy. That might help us develop a love of the joy of cooking?
I think so. Like, when you're sharing all that work and, you know, the woman who called earlier about all the prep work, or on the Facebook, right, all the prep work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those cooking shows completely cheap because they have everything chopped up already. So if you're sharing that labor among a bunch of folks, I think it tends to be, you know, a lot easier. And it, you know, it sort of reminded me, I feel like I see a lot of writing in sort of food magazines and from some of the more famous food writers about, you know, so, oh, we should learn to appreciate the communal nature of the table. And there's a degree to which, you know, a lot of America already appreciates and understands that. That's something that I've seen, you know, in, with families on welfare, right, who are cooking with, you know, money they get from food stamps. I've seen that with more affluent families. You know, a lot of Americans already get that you can find a lot of reward in cooking, and particularly in a communal sense, right, and sharing all of that. And so there's sort of this part of me that's like, well, I know that, you know, for all you very highly educated, like, fancy people, you know, you think we all need to be told that we should share cooking, but a lot of us already do that.
Yeah. Here's Scott in Columbus is our next caller, and I'm interested in how many men are calling in talking about how they love to cook. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I was going to make the same point exactly, Joy. Good to hear. Lots of men calling in. And like Trevor, I grew up, you know, in a household where cooking was a real tradition, and I learned really early. My mother baked bread twice a week. So I grew up eating homemade bread. We had a big garden, so I got used to eating all this really good food. And when I got away from home in college, I saw the quality of food going down, 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 and the price going up, up, up. So I thought, you know, as soon as I get to a place where I've got some land and I can do it, I'm going to start gardening. And I've been doing that for my entire adult life, as well as when I was growing up. And what I do is, at this time of year, of course, the garden is, you know, full production, so I'm cooking, canning, freezing, drying, just about every day, and it does get to be a chore. I also, don't eat out that much because I live rural and it's, you know, driving, et cetera. And in this area, there's not a lot of variety, for eating out. So what I do is I plan my meals approximately a week ahead. That way I make sure I don't repeat a main meal a couple of days in a row. Keep the variety so that it doesn't get boring.
Wonderful,
so, you know,
Scott.
You have to work at it.
And you also get to use the stuff you're canning now and taste fresh tomatoes in the wintertime.
I can't remember the last time that I bought a tomato because the canned, you know, it's not like fresh, but it's so much better than anything you can buy commercially fresh, unless maybe, you're going to a farmer's market, again, off season, I can't buy the commercial stuff anymore. And, when I get bored, even with my own menu, what I'll do is I'll go to the library and pick up some books, maybe on Indian cooking or African cooking, and just start browsing and, pick up a recipe here or there.
Great, Scott. Thanks for the inspiration. Tracy, a reaction?
I want to come over for dinner. I mean, I think, you know, that's really great. Like, obviously, you know, for the folks that I write for, most folks are living in cities, right? So it's hard to do the kind of scale of food production Scott's talking about. And I'd be interested to know sort of what he does with the rest of his time, because that to me sounds like a full-time job. So how he's holding down a job with all that, like, to me that's really fascinating, because that...
I'm still here. If I
yes.
Can comment.
Hey.
Well, my parents were both Depression babies, and we had this huge garden. The cardinal sin when I was growing up was to waste food.
Right.
So that's why I plan my meals and I cook large batches and freeze stuff up and plan ahead so that I do not allow food to go to waste. And at this time of year, of course, I'm giving a lot of food away. So this, you know, and I grew up, knowing how to bake bread and can and all of this stuff. So it is a way of life.
Right.
And you adjust your schedule. And I've been self-employed my entire adult life. So I can take a day or even 2 days and a week and just cook.
Wonderful. And yeah, but sometimes it is a little bit different for somebody who is on a 9-to-5 or longer schedule than that, Tracy. It becomes a little bit more of a chore then.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing that Scott's comments sort of bring out for me is that, you know, cooking in large batches and sort of planning a little bit ahead, for me, that's made a huge difference. For instance, if I, you know, sort of go to the farm, if I manage to get to a farmer's market and I sort of pick up a bunch of stuff, as soon as I get home, I just wash everything and put it out and make sure it's in, like, clear containers and things like that, not just sort of stuck in a bag at the bottom of the fridge where I don't see it. Because for me, you know, I feel like a lot of why I don't eat stuff that's in my fridge is I don't feel like washing that, or I don't feel like cutting that up, or where are those peaches? I don't know, right? So just sort of doing small things like that and doing as much prep and processing as I can all at once and having it done, right, where I spend like an hour when I get home and then I don't have to worry about the rest of the week. And for me, that makes a big difference.
I'm Joy Cardine talking with Tracy McMillan. She's author of The American Way of Eating. And we are talking with her about her piece on Slate.com. Cooking isn't fun, but you should do it anyway. 1-800-642-1234 if you have a question or a reaction to that. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Taking a quick check of the weather for today, it's going to be sunny and hot with highs mainly in the low to mid-90s. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August 30th. Coming up, we'll talk with a guest political analyst about Paul Ryan's speech last night before the Republican National Convention. We'll talk about how Vice Presidential nominee Paul Ryan framed the debate over the national debt, Medicare, and other issues on the campaign trail. We're talking with Tracy McMillan for the rest of this hour about why she says cooking really isn't fun, but you should do it anyway. And our next caller is Becky in Verona. Hi, Becky.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I really do enjoy the guys talking, too, on the show. That's pretty neat. My comment was I got an app on my smartphone called Paprika. And what's nice about it is it has links to all these recipe sites. So you go and pick your recipe. Once you pick your recipe, it actually generates a grocery list and it puts it by aisle in a grocery store. And it also marks it on my calendar what I'm having for that meal for that night. And it makes it a lot more convenient because I know I get all the right things at the grocery store. I take my smartphone and I just check them off as I get them. And I can look at my calendar the night before and say, oh, that's what I'm having tomorrow. I need to get the chicken out of the freezer. I just think it makes it a lot more convenient, and it helps a lot.
I love it. Paprika is the name of it?
Yep, it's called Paprika.
Wonderful. I need all the help I can get, Tracy. You think that's a good idea?
I mean, I don't have a whole lot of apps on my smartphone. I know a lot of people use them, so I think that's great. You know, anything that makes cooking feel easy for folks, I think that's a wonderful thing to do.
And Amanda Magnus, who is trying to Cook More recommends Epicurious as a good cooking app as well. Judy in Hudson emails, I work full-time and have found that planning a week's worth of menus and purchasing the necessary ingredients ahead of time is the most efficient way to save money and eat well. It doesn't matter in which order you decide to cook the meals, you will have the ingredients on hand. So I guess that's a part of the chore is planning and shopping and all that.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun, right, to say, oh, I'm going to sit down and plan out my week of meals and get the grocery list together. But if you do it, it's going to be a lot easier to cook.
Yeah, and there are, you say, we touched on it in the first half, all right, just a whole lot of benefits to cooking from scratch as opposed to eating out a lot like I do and or just, you know, cooking convenience foods.
Yeah, I mean, health and economics are two really big benefits from cooking at home. It's a lot cheaper to cook for yourself at home from scratch, and it's certainly a lot healthier.
Dave in Hillsboro is with us next. Hello, Dave.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you? Are you the family cook?
Yes, I basically am. And I got this out of outdoor life a couple years ago, and it started off as more of a selfish proposition, but whoever cooks in my family, be it myself or my wife or my kids sometimes, excuse me, whoever cooks is not the one who has to clean up the kitchen afterwards.
Good idea.
And I've had it several times where I've cooked something like chicken Alfredo pizza or grilled stuffed chicken breast, stuff like that, and my wife comes out and she goes, boy, you made a mess. I said, that's because I don't have to clean it up.
Well, that's a way to share the labor, right, Tracy?
Yeah, I mean, I think dishes, right, are for me, eating out, the most attractive thing about eating out is not having to do the cleanup usually.
Mm-hmm.
So anything you can do to sort of rein in folks for that, I think that's great.
I like getting the kiddos involved, too.
Definitely.
Yeah, and that actually is, though. Kids today, they say, really don't know how to cook because they're not watching their parents do it as much.
Right, well, I think, you know, people cook a bit less often, too, and so you've got to figure, you know, sort of, I mean, obviously each family's got to figure out what makes sense for them, but the more you can get kids involved in the kitchen and make them understand cooking as something that's just a normal habit and something everyone does, right, I think the more tools you're giving them to take care of themselves as they get older.
And Pat in Laval will be our last caller as we are running very short on time. Hi, Pat, can you please be brief?
Yes, I can. Mm-hmm. I just agree with what many people are saying, but and Tracy's right, it is a lot of work, but I consider it a labor of love for my family.
Wonderful. A labor of love, Tracy.
I think it can be that too, right? I think there are a lot of things that are both chores and joys, and I think that's where cooking falls.
And so what is your takeaway? What would you like listeners to take away from this hour?
Mostly just, you know, cook as much as you can, and, you know, don't feel bad if you find it annoying. It probably just is annoying.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joy.
Tracy McMillan, author of The American Way of Eating, Undercover at Walmart, Applebee's, Farm Fields, and The Dinner Table. She's also a senior fellow at the Schuster Institute for Investigative Journalism and a Knight Wallace Fellow at the University of Michigan. We talked with her about her recent piece, which appeared on Slate.com. Cooking isn't fun, but you should do it anyway. Thanks for all of your great ideas. I'm inspired to do a little bit more home cooking now, too. Thanks to Amanda Magnus for producing and directing this hour. Thanks to Cheryl Gasser, who is in today for on-air production. And thank you for listening. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking politics coming up in our next hour. We'll talk with a political analyst about Congressman Paul Ryan's speech last night before the GOP convention in Tampa, accepting his party's vice presidential nomination. And then after 8 o'clock, we're going to talk with a guest about how you can help your children overcome anxiety. We'll talk with the author of Growing Up Brave after 8. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.